Welcome to the Government Contracts Legal Roundup, a podcast focused on important developments facing government contractors and grant recipients. This podcast is put on by the Jenner & Block Government Contracts Practice Group. I'm David Robbins, the co-chair of the group, and it's my pleasure to continue to host this podcast. We have a bunch of protests, a couple of court cases, and a legislative update, so let's get through them as reasonably quickly as we can and get you back to your day. We'll start with the legislative update and more of a regulatory update, I guess. DOD issued a final rule amending the DFARS to update the policy and procedures for the use of the Supplier Performance Risk System, SPRS, and to require contracting officers to consider risk assessments, if available, in both the evaluation of quotations or offers when determining contractor responsibility. There's a new solicitation provision, DFARS 252-204-7024, notice on the use of the Supplier Performance Risk System. Contracting officers will be required to consider item risk, price risk, and supplier risk in evaluating quotations or offers in response to solicitations for supplies and services, including Part 12 commercial products or services. The rule gives discretion to CO in considering the information available within the SPRS. Contractors are already required to conduct basic assessments of compliance with the NIST 800-171 controls and submit the scores into the system under DFARS 252-204-7020. Contractors can access their own risk assessments in SPRS and challenge a rating generated by the system as well. So just something to be aware of, the times sure are a-changing. We have a FOIA update out of the district court in D.C., Gandhi versus CMS. Here, D.C. District Court Judge Cooper held that CMS failed to meet its burden by establishing that employer identification numbers of healthcare organizations and their parent companies qualified as confidential records that may be properly withheld in response to a FOIA request. University professors conducting research on whether CMS collects accurate data on the structure of healthcare providers submitted a FOIA request seeking unredacted EINs and parent company tax identifying numbers, TINs. The request implicated records for over 1.6 million healthcare providers, ranging from large corporate hospitals to small clinics and physician groups. The request did not seek Social Security numbers or data pertaining to individual healthcare providers or sole proprietors. CMS asserted that it was prohibited from releasing the EINs or parent TINs under FOIA Exemption 4, shielding confidential, commercial, or financial information from disclosure, and Exemption 6, which protects personnel records, the disclosure of which would constitute a clearly unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Judge Cooper held that CMS failed to meet its burden under Exception 4 to establish that at least some of the providers actually consider EINs and parent TINs to be confidential, while CMS appeared to perceive an obligation to keep that information confidential. CMS did not establish any firm obligation or assurance of confidentiality, and the plaintiffs provided evidence that at least some businesses do not treat the data as confidential. It's contained, for example, in public SEC filings. CMS also failed to present, quote, competent evidence of a risk of corporate identity theft or any other harm for that matter stemming from the release, unquote, of this information. The judge further rejected CMS's reliance on Exemption 6 because the records did not seek personnel information and the government did not meaningfully defend its position once challenged. So this raises the bar, right? FOIA requesters can expect to get a little bit farther than before. You can't just have blanket, yeah, we think Exemption 4 applies. You need to go farther. And maybe these cases demonstrate it's worth pushing back a bit if you need this information. Moving on to protest cases, Sierra 7 Inc., B3 Gate LLC, B number 421109, published in very late March 28th. GAO denied a protest alleging that the Department of Veterans Affairs failed to assess whether the awardee's proposal was consistent with Section 889 prohibitions relating to acquiring certain telecommunications equipment made by companies affiliated with the Chinese government. Under the solicitation for various types of personal computers, each offeror had to propose, quote, devices from a single OEM. One offeror quoted products from OEM Lenovo. One protester alleged that Lenovo computer products were inconsistent with the prohibition under FAR 52-204-25, implementing Section 889, and prohibits the government from acquiring the telecommunications equipment or services produced by Chinese government-affiliated or owned entities identified by the DOD. The protester argued that the VA was required to analyze whether award to this company complied with the FAR, including by investigating the truthfulness of the offeror's representation that it quoted products that were not prohibited under the FAR clause. GAO, not surprisingly, I guess, denied the protest, citing precedent that an agency is permitted to reasonably rely on vendors' self-representations of compliance with regulatory requirements. GAO found that there were no concrete indications that the offeror was providing prohibited telecommunications equipment or that Lenovo was subject to any exclusion listing. GAO also rejected the assertion that the VA was obligated to conduct any investigation, stating that there was no evidence that the contracting officer was aware of several government public reports warning of cyber espionage risks associated with Lenovo products. It's interesting, right? It didn't entirely foreclose evaluation challenges, this decision didn't, invoking compliance with Section 889 requirements. But protesters need to have a more compelling argument where they can identify facial evidence that the awardee's proposal was non-compliant, as opposed to invoking extra record information of which the agency allegedly should have been aware. Aside from issues in contract formation, Section 889 compliance, of course, continues to be an important risk area for contractors. This just may not be the way to challenge it by a bid protest before GAO. And moving on to the court, J.E. McAmis, Inc. versus United States, published the 27th of last month. This is a Court of Federal Claims bid protest, and it was denied and highlights the tension between small business policy goals and government contracting performance needs. The Army Corps of Engineers issued a solicitation for jetty repair services that included special instructions regarding responsibility in accordance with FAR 9104-2. Specifically, the solicitation provided that to be eligible for award, the bidder must have completed a project meeting certain criteria. Two small businesses submitted, J.E. McAmis and Trade West Construction. The Corps determined that Trade West was non-responsible for not having previously performed a project that met the criteria. In response, Trade West appealed this determination to the SBA and requested a certificate of competency determination. Despite the Corps informing the SBA that it did not think Trade West could handle a project of this magnitude, SBA issued a COC for Trade West and directed the Corps to award the contract to Trade West. McAmis protested on multiple grounds. At the outset, the court held that although it could review an SBA finding of non-responsibility, it does not have jurisdiction over an affirmative COC determination by the SBA. Congress vested that power in the SBA. Next, the court found that McAmis conflated responsiveness and responsibility when arguing that the agency, quote, should have deemed Trade West's bid as non-responsive and rejected its bid for failing to provide any information required by the special instructions, unquote. The special instructions referred to responsibility, which were distinct from whether Trade West's proposal conformed in all material respects to the solicitation's requirements. Additionally, the court held that the SBA did not violate its regulations by not following the solicitation's heightened responsibility criteria when issuing its COC determination. Importantly, the court affirmed that the SBA is not bound by the special standards of responsibility developed by contracting officers for certain acquisitions. Small businesses should carefully examine any heightened responsibility criteria, as this case exemplifies. For offerors who satisfy their criteria, it may be worthwhile to encourage the agency to fold these criteria into the evaluation. For small businesses facing non-responsibility determinations based on special standards, well, appealing turns out to be crucial. With that, let's close this podcast edition. Thank you for joining us for the Government Contracts Legal Roundup. If you have any questions or need more information about anything here, I can be reached at 202-639-6040 or drobbins@jenner.com.